sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit, kid. I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament.
Yo, what is up? It is Tequila. Apologies for my voice not sounding great. Still recovering a little bit. But you know what it is. This is Tequila. This is the podcast where nerds talk tech while taking a shot of tequila every 10 minutes. I am your host, Daniel Regueira. With me today, I have, for the first time, Mr. Dante Douglas.
Hi, that's me. I write about video games and stuff. I'm online. That's what I do.
I'm online.
I'm online.
I'm out here.
Log the fuck in. Let's do this.
And then I have returning yet again, Miss Nina Hernandez. What up, Nina? How you doing?
Nina?
Oh, no. Of course. And Nina's gone forever.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, I just got muted on accident. My bad.
All right.
It's been a long week.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, dude, just chilling. I have these lovely people on to talk about a very interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about labor in technology, just the state of labor in tech. But yeah, first and foremost, how y'all doing? You good?
Doing good.
Good.
Ready,
Dante?
Ready,
what is it?
Ready to get kind of drunk on a Sunday?
That's right.
Yeah.
Loving it. Loving this.
Yeah, this has been postponed so many times. I'm glad to finally like get it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Despite the state of my voice. Dante, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a finely aged Maker's Mark whiskey.
There you go.
Yep.
Ew.
Gonna be doing shots of that, so.
Nina, what do you have?
Dude, that will turn my stomach for real. I ain't lying.
I've seen it happen.
I'm drinking Espolón.
There you go. Nice. And then I got this 1800. I don't know if you read the name in English or Spanish. 1800, 1800, whatever.
Trying to be like me.
That's right. Okay, well, let's take this shot. Dante, I'll have you count down.
Sure. Do you usually go like 3, 2, 1, or should we?
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Or whatever you want.
I don't know. All right, 3, 2, 1.
Boom.
Oh, boy.
Bam. Okay, timer started.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have like just a loose
Ooh.
Order here. You doing right there?
Ah, man, I just wish I had a Modelo. Fuck.
Yes, Modelo would be a good follow-up right now.
Fuck.
Oh, hell yeah.
Woo!
Put some hair on your chest, Nina.
I know. I'm not what I used to be. Like, when I turned 21, I was working at the flea market. And they pulled me out of my stand. They got somebody to cover for me, and they pulled me into, like, the big cooler where, you know, they kept all the beers, and they had a pool table.
Mm-hmm.
And they made me do shots and play a game of pool.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And they were like, the dudes were like so proud. They're like, look at her cara. Like, she doesn't make a face at all.
Hell yeah.
But just because, like, I was trying to be, you know, I was trying to be one of the dudes. And
that's right.
But now I just can't. I have to make a face.
I've seen you. I've seen you both ways. I've seen you save face and I've seen you vomit. So
yeah, I'd be like, yeah.
You're an adult now. You can, you
what
a
friend's for.
Okay, I guess we're going to kick it off. So, yeah, I just want to talk about labor and tech today. I thought it'd be interesting to have you on because y'all are cool as fuck. And cool people know shit about labor. It's just known.
Right.
So, first and foremost, wanted to talk about the coolest person on Earth, Elon Musk.
Oh, boy.
Your best friend.
Space boy, Elon Musk.
Like, unanimously the coolest person ever.
loves hentai. Loves flying spaceships.
Who does it?
Grimes.
Who does it? It's the most relatable thing about him, honestly.
I don't even know if him and Grimes are still dating. I don't, maybe not.
I was legitimately confused about that.
No, I think that they broke up.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to put that out there on the record, start rumors. But
I think, I think you're right, though.
That there was some kind of hiccup in that beautiful romance.
Yeah, I didn't really get it. The only
in air quotes.
Yeah.
God. Dude, she looked like a straight gargoyle in that picture. Oh my god!
She also looks like his child.
Was it the fucking Spy Kids picture? Which is the only way I know about it. Yeah. The one where it's like Elon Musk looking like her dad.
And yes.
Oh, yes. It was so creepy. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah. What the fuck was that one? That was wild.
Like straight
up.
She
looks
dead.
Like she looks like an inbred version of Liv Tyler's character from Lord of the Rings. She like emaciated version. She's fucked up.
I think that relationship is a great reminder that if you're rich and you meet another rich person, you can get through anything, you know? Like it doesn't
Jesus
matter.
Christ.
If you're that fucking rich, it doesn't matter.
And she actually
there's a lot
like,
of truth to that.
She actually is in kind of like part of the drama and with like Tesla's labor shit.
Yes.
Okay, so like
yeah. Sorry, we can get to this. Yeah.
Backstory. So Tesla, there's a great article on The Verge I was reading that talks about how like trying to compare.
I just want to make sure y'all know what I'm talking about, like specifically what
I'm
talking
about. Is this the photo? Yes, this is the photo that I was.
Okay. Absolutely.
Oh, no. Okay. I was thinking of a different one, but I know this photo. This is a good photo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is a great photo.
It's the best photo.
Like anyway,
dad,
proceed.
It's a dad taking his like goth teen to the mall. Like that's what this fucking.
Jesus God.
She really does look like something between like Gollum and Liv Tyler.
Seriously.
Oof.
Oh god, don't put that in my head.
Like talking about Tesla, it's interesting the way that Tesla approaches just like labor in general. So like the article was like trying to posit like, is Tesla a tech company or is it a car company? And the way it's structured is it's more tech company than car company culturally. Like they do a lot of they do a lot of pivots, which is a common thing in like the tech startup scene where you like change your business model and shit on a regular basis. They even have like, you know, their cars have like OTA updates and shit, over the air updates, that you just like when your car hits like Wi-Fi, it'll fucking update your car's software
faster.
yeah, which is fucking wild. So like, I guess the answer is both. But the thing is that like unions in the past in the tech space have only been amongst contract workers, you know, like people that are like driving the employees in or like caterers or whatever. Yep. And like Silicon Valley from day one has always been kind of opposed to unions. You know, Steve Jobs once called teachers unions the problem with the modern school system, which is interesting. And then, but then looking at the auto industry, like the auto industry has been heavy unionized for a minute.
For 100 years. There's a grand history of that. And I think Tesla's weird because they are doing the thing that you aren't supposed to do as a tech company, which is like get heavily into production and into kind of industrialization of your actual production.
Like heavy
line.
Industry.
Yeah, heavy industry. They're doing heavy industry. It'd be like if Google, I don't know, started making satellites for Google Maps.
Right.
And that's not usually how this shit works.
Right.
Well, I mean, Google is a utility, so it's not far off, honestly.
It's totally not. And I think what's wild is like, because didn't y'all probably know more about this shit than I do, but fucking didn't Google start making their own phones recently or some shit?
Yes. Although they like outsource it. It's
right.
Like,
right. They
technically
probably
like HTC or someone that makes
it. Yeah. So there probably isn't like a Google factory. I mean, maybe there is. I don't know. But like
the contracted like Apple.
Yeah.
Would.
So hypothetically, that could be in the future, but it's just like that's what Tesla's been doing since day one. Is this hybrid model, like you're saying?
Yeah, which is fucking crazy. And then like, so from pretty early on, apparently, and you know, this is known now because of workers that have come out and said it, despite you know doing that could hurt their careers big time. They've been kind of like abusing labor and union busting as well. The UAW, I think it's United Auto Workers Union, I believe that's what it is, has been trying to unionize them forever. And back in 2017, there's this one particular worker, Jose Moran, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce the last name properly, but that's the attempt I'm going to make. Posted on Medium, in 2017, about the working conditions that he went under and like what people that he saw also went under. It's just like really long hours, excessive mandatory overtime, stressful working conditions. I mean, like a lot of the line, the assembly line, is automated, but then the parts that aren't automated requires you as the, you know, like unskilled or skilled worker to go in there at like crazy angles.
What I think
doing shit to the cars.
Sorry, you can.
You're good.
Continue. I was just gonna say a thing that this letter I think really elucidates, which I think is smart as fuck, is in his last paragraph he says Tesla isn't a startup anymore; it's here to stay. And I feel like that is almost the root of the problem: is that tech companies generally work in production cycles. They make things, they staff up, and then they lay off people after the project's done, and then they're in maintenance mode. But that's not how Tesla works, because they're making hardware. They're making cars. But the company is still built like a tech company, and the way that they have, like, assuaged that difference is just exploiting workers. Like, instead of having these cycles, you just have a bunch of people who you pay nothing. Like, that's their decision to fix it.
It's basically how Amazon has, you know...
Oh, kept, totally.
Has, you know, created a monopoly in its own way.
Yeah. Well, talking about he actually talks about the pay in the article. He says most Tesla workers earn between 17 and 21 hourly. And the average auto worker earns about 25 an hour. And also does not live in, you know, the expensive...
you don't live in fucking Silicon Valley.
Like, correct. Yeah. Which is fucking crazy.
I think this is just a great example of, like, the differences between, like, sort of manufacturing ideology that's going on here. That, like, we're looking at companies like Tesla, which act and believe that they are tech companies, but are functionally... Or at least there's parts of them that are functionally just auto plants. Like, that's not, you can't run things the same way, you know?
Yeah. And then, of course, there's, like, I know less about this, but because of Elon Musk's, like, stupid ass tweets about, like, I forget if he, like, hinted that he might have, like, indirectly union busted or some shit. He did some shit that was illegal. And the NLRB, was it National Labor
Relations Review? Board.
Relations Board. There we go. I think is still investigating him, or he has, like, a trial going on or something at the moment.
Elon Musk is a very good example of a dude who won't fucking shut up, and it gets him in trouble. And, this is a direct action of that. Because, I forget the exact scenario, but it was basically, like, he had a tweet that just implied that he did something that was super illegal, and then the NLRB was like, hold up, you can't just do that. Whenever I think about Elon Musk, I think about there was an article like years ago, I want to say, about it was just like a long form, like, personal interview with Elon Musk. It was the one where he, like, came out about loving Rick and Morty, I believe. So this was at least like 2 or 3 years ago. But it's just like whenever I think about Elon Musk, I have to think about the fact that he is not a particularly like he's a smart dude. But he's not.
What happened? What did I do?
So this is... You didn't do anything, Nina. Oh. That's the shot timer.
Oh, okay.
Jesus. What did I do?
What the fuck is that? Is there an airplane? Jesus. Okay.
I just started doing the shot timer as the Blood Moon music.
Oh. From
Jackass. Breath of the Wild. All right,
that makes more sense. Okay, I'm pouring another shot.
Okay.
My baby. I was like, why isn't my dog freaking out? Like, what's going on?
All right. Who's counting down?
I want a drink.
Just take baby shots then, Nina.
I'm doing quite full shots because I'm smart. All right.
Hey, let's not erase the mystique for the people.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's
too much looking
peek
at
behind
it.
The curtain.
Right?
Nina, go ahead, count.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Shot.
You always count like it's a NASA countdown or something. Like, you always so austere.
Well, I mean, it's a serious thing.
Hell yeah.
Liftoff. We have liftoff.
Oh, man. Oh. It's like Venom. Did you ever see Venom?
No, because I don't hate myself.
Venom's good as fuck. Shut up.
My God. Did you see that movie?
It looks so bad.
Okay, it is bad, but it's like very, very entertaining.
It was so fun.
It's so fun. It's very much Tom Hardy just like goofing off. It's good. It's a good movie.
I'm doing like
Dante,
a shitty.
Oh my accent. God. Yeah. You and me, bro.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
Thank you. I'm like, why do somebody was like, cause I was like, I just like a movie that doesn't make me want to like go hang out in the lobby.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I had seen A Star Is Born like before that. And that was the worst movie I ever created.
I haven't seen it.
I've never seen something so bad.
I don't want to say anything that'll like incriminate me in the future. So like, I'm just gonna say I haven't seen that movie. Like,
okay. I personally think it's the worst movie ever created.
I mean, you've already had people come at you for that opinion. I'm not trying to have people come at me for other opinions.
That's what I mean. I don't want to invite that. I will say that Tom Hardy in Venom is just a delight.
You've already admitted to liking Venom.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed of that. Like, that's fine. I can own that. Do we want to get what were we talking about?
I don't know if we have anything else. I mean, like, anyone else want to shit on Elon Musk or union busting and shit? Man. Go for it.
No, I mean, I just think, you know, not to be nice to him, but I mean, it is just like a general problem in tech. I mean,
right.
And when you become a big company, you know, like when you go from being a startup to being a real company, you know, most places like AppSumo or different, you know, mm-hmm. they've become real companies with, you know, good pay and packages, you know, benefit packages and, you know, good working conditions. But like, you know, some like Amazon, you know, they get so big that they just become... you know, I don't see how Amazon could pay people properly or could, you know, do like benefit packages and still be, you know, and still do everything, you know, the way that they do, you know, with, you know, the executives taking home big pay and and things working how they usually work in those companies. So unless you're really willing to fundamentally change, you know, who takes home the bread, then I mean... Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, and how do you get that conversation started? By organizing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The one thing I would also say is, I think, Nina, you bringing up the pay thing is, I mean, it's obviously the root of most union struggles. But it reminds me of this other thing that I found out recently because, like, I have some friends who work at Facebook, which is not that uncommon because Facebook has, like, a billion employees or whatever the fuck.
Here in Austin.
Yeah. And, like, an interesting thing about Facebook that I didn't know is that Facebook has – I mean, it's not that uncommon, but Facebook has no union for its, like, tech workers. Right. Not that uncommon in tech. However, there was a really interesting, like, article that I wish I could remember where it was, but that was basically asking Facebook workers, like, why don't you have a union? And their answer was, we don't really need one. Like, we have – really good pay, really good benefits. It's not on our general procedure. Like, there are very few material reasons to push for a union. I don't know if I fully agree with that because I feel like it's always good to have a union, but I think that's kind of the root of this, right? Is that, like, if Tesla was paying people fucking $45 an hour to work the line, I don't think the question of unionization would be as high on everyone's list as it is. And I think... they're sort of inviting this sort of conflict because they're exploiting workers, right? Yeah. Whereas, I mean, like, yeah, Facebook has, you know, more money than God, and, like, they're not – I don't think they're hurting by giving their employees, I'm sure, great pay and great benefits. Tesla is a bit weirder for a lot of reasons. I don't even know if Tesla's profitable. I feel like – I feel like they're one of those companies that I hear a lot about, and then every now and then someone's like, yeah, but they still run in the red, and it's like, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think with the Model 3, their quote-unquote affordable car, even though it's
the 30,000 car. Yeah.
Not affordable for me.
No. affordable, maybe like a used Model 3, if that's ever a thing, might become affordable, you know?
I mean, you see them out in the streets. Like, I think eventually, yeah, they will be.
Yeah.
But that was – so I think, like, the idea was that will – that, like, that car is what will create profitability. I think they're getting close. But, yeah, they're still not there. They're still in the red.
See, and
that's – what I know.
Yeah, and I wonder if Tesla had just, like, boatloads of profit going on right now, if they would be doing this quote-unquote naturally. And I don't give any – I don't ever trust a capitalist to do that. But I do think that there's a reason why Facebook does that, and it's because they have absolute boatloads of money, right?
Yeah, or also, like, that off by paying people well,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Also, like, Facebook, like, some – at a certain point, like – you know, Facebook is in competition with various other tech companies for not a you know, like not for a, competitive not a huge wages. Pool.
Yeah.
Well, just not a huge pool of talent.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is a large pool of talent, but not comparatively, it really isn't.
It's high skill talent,
and
right?
especially to get diversity in your company. I mean, they pay a lot. They work very hard to do that. But you know, at the same time, like you know, everybody and their mother has like these like you know. Unlimited vacation packages. Those are a fucking scam. You know what I mean? Like, there are ways that especially tech companies have gotten very savvy at framing not great benefit packages or not great working conditions as benefits, as advantages.
Right, like the open plan, open floor plan.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, fucking miss me with that shit, seriously. Like, God.
That shit is awful.
It's really
bad. Oh, wow, look how fun and creative we are. It's an open floor plan. This is a benefit to working here.
It's a fucking panopticon is what it fucking is. Like, that's what it is. It's panopticon style workplace fucking architecture, and it's garbage. Like,
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
It's really bad.
I mean, I guess it's a space saver, you know?
Right.
I mean, as long as you, it's space saver as long as you aren't knocking down like integral walls, like that's,
you know, like columns and shit.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Oh God. Anyway.
So anyway, my point being, you know, there's like I get what you're saying about wages and, you know, for the people with, you know, certain skill sets, they do benefit from competition and they are fine, but like. You know, when we're talking about the tech industry, like, you know, people who box shit for Amazon, like you, they are contributing to the tech giant, you know what I mean? Even though they're not doing quote unquote a tech job. So, and their wages matter as much as as anybody, at least to me.
No, okay, I super agree. Well, I mean, the reason I brought up Facebook is because as far as I know, they don't really have much in the way of, I don't know, physical labor jobs, for lack of a better term, right? Like, bulk of Facebook's, like, workforce is probably tech, like, programmers is what I mean. But when we look at companies like Tesla or, like, Amazon, which I know is one of the other topics we want to talk about, they do just have a lot of, I don't know, basic physical labor, stuff that doesn't require you to know how to fucking code, you know?
Right.
And those people,
It's like traditional unskilled workers, right?
Exactly. And those things, they absolutely deserve higher pay because you're right. They should be considered part of the tech industry. And I believe that's kind of the problem.
That's a gap right now.
It's a gap, It's because we don't consider people who work at Amazon in the factory as a tech worker, even though they basically are. Like, I mean, totally. Whatever.
When it's enabling, of course, it's enabling the industry or that particular business. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Good segue to, because Amazon is next on my list. So this is a good segue to Amazon. So back when we were first talking about doing this episode together, Amazon had just given its workers a $15 minimum wage. And before we start praising Jeff Bezos, I mean, none of us are going to do that. But before you, the listener, I was like, oh.
Well, may I might for the Washington Post.
No, there you go. I might if I get that job. Shit.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't mean it like that, but sure.
No, but so yeah, like don't give credit to dude. Give credit to the fact that the workers organized and put a lot of pressure. I mean, even I think it was Bernie Sanders and or Elizabeth Warren put pressure.
Yeah, and I know that there's been some criticism of that as well. Not in the fact that 15 is bad, but in that the way that this is like rolling out, I guess, doesn't apply to a certain contingent of Amazon workers. I don't know the specifics on this. I just know that I saw some smart people saying like, this is good, but it's also allowing them to get away with like not paying certain segments of workers, I guess, at the $15 amount.
Like it's not as comprehensive as we thought.
Yeah. What did you say? What is that sound effect from?
From Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. All right.
The Blood Moon.
I just got Breath of the Wild recently, so I'm not very up.
Oh man.
I skipped it. I just completely missed it when it first came
out. Dude, get off the podcast right now and go play it.
I've been playing it. Don't worry. I'm getting through. Okay.
How much is it to get one of those Nintendos?
Now
there's a sale on somewhere that I saw for like $270, which is like Nintendo never discounts shit. So like that's probably as low as it's gonna go.
Word. I was going to say that I think there's like several bundles going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Like you can buy a Switch for $300 and get someone for like Mario Kart, which is good as hell. So like do that. But anyway,
there's one for the Mario Tennis, which like I don't give a fuck about.
I mean, I care about is Pikachu.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Pikachu's available now on your Switch. So let's go Pokemon. Whatever. Are we doing any shots?
You're right. I have been waiting.
Yeah, let me count. Life. Okay. Are you all ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Nina, you sound so excited.
I know, because I'm already tipsy as fuck. Okay.
Maybe start underpouring. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Salud. That one went straight to my nostrils.
Ooh. I'm getting used to it now. That was nothing for me. I'm good.
That was nothing for me. Nothing. Yeah. Oh yeah, you're drinking Maker's Mark. You're already dead inside.
Yeah, I'm already
that's
dead
right. I've already been destroyed.
I'm dead for half hour.
Jesus. Amazon workers recently got $15 minimum wage, and yeah, so like I don't know the specifics. So of course, in the like Amazon fucking press release, they're like, this includes temp workers and contract workers, but I'm not sure how comprehensive it is. Well, what is interesting in that is that it includes Whole Foods employees, which is pretty cool, I guess.
That's cool. Yeah, there's a Whole Foods that opens in every fucking town every day, but there was one that opened in my town last year.
Where and, do you live?
I'm in Oregon, and I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, you
Oregon.
Live in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You live there.
Yeah, West Coasty.
Are you from there as well?
I'm from there, yeah. Yeah, I was a...
And you live there as well? Oh, you're like me.
Yeah.
Except from Eugene.
Yeah, like I haven't fucking left my, like, home state.
Yeah, me too. No, me too. I live in Austin, and I was born here.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. I always think that's really fascinating, because, like, most people...
Yeah, I'm not tipsy at all.
Most people, I think, who, like, work in and around, like, the online sector tend to, like, move to major population centers, and I know that that'll probably happen for me at some point, but not yet. Anyway, Whole Foods.
Good for you, I respect that.
Yeah, Whole Foods fucking opened up recently, and it's weird how ubiquitous those stores are. And also, since I've only like been in there like 3 times, because you know, like hashtag shop local and shit, and like fuck.
Amazon, speaking of Austin, Texas.
Yeah, they're from Austin.
Whole Foods. Wait, really? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
The headquarters is in
Austin.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, but the reason I bring that up is like, yeah, they're. The way that Whole Foods is, like, integrated into Amazon is really interesting to me, because they are, like, a grocery store owned by a tech giant, and I'm not really sure. That doesn't – they are the first, right? Like, I can't think of any other company where that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the – it's the first that I know of.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like the weirdest thing is, like, the only, like, competitors to the Whole Foods thing in terms of, like, a tech company going into food service is, like – I don't know. There's like fucking subscription meal plans or whatever.
Where like Blue Apron or whatever.
I mean,
the fuck.
Other tech places, like that's like other like retailers are now doing that with online brands and stuff like that, like Walmart and Target.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. That's true.
In a battle for, you know, not a battle, but, you know, picking the brands that they want to buy and using that to beef up their online stores. So, I guess Amazon's just like the best. Just like did it first.
Well, they're jumping the gun, and I think they're also they just have the money, right? Like, so like it doesn't really matter to them.
What's interesting with the Amazon conversation and like Whole Foods is like I don't know, like as a tech nerd, I think it's I guess kind of cool to have like options, like additional options on your phone to go to Whole Foods, but also like I for some reason, and I'm probably not alone, find it like inherently creepy or like
it's
weird.
I kind of feel
you like the fact that Amazon is like integrated into like you the, your Whole Foods experience now, like your Amazon Prime membership.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I quit Prime like a year ago, and I don't miss it. And I never shop at Whole Foods because which even though it's local, like fuck that, I shop at HEB.
I mean, it's gone from being a local Austin thing to being like a mega conglomerate, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, I'm just like I have no interest in it, and So, yeah, I just think sure it's integrated, but you don't have, like, my point being, like, you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, affect my life whatsoever. I just go to the fucking grocery store.
Yeah. I just go to the fucking grocery store.
Well, I think it's interesting that you mentioned it being like kind of like, oh, it's like a creepy thing, because I kind of get that in the sense that this is just, this feels like another angle for like a company like Amazon to harvest info and data. And it does constantly butt up against, like, I imagine this is everyone's frustration, right? Is that like, it's so much easier, but there's a reason that it's easier. And the reason is that you're generally just harvesting more data for Amazon, which is like, whatever, it's normal. We're all getting our data harvested at this point, but it's still, it's just one of those things that feels very conscious.
And it's weird. But it's that, and it's also like the fact that like Amazon's becoming like a megalith that's just hard to avoid. I mean, like, for instance, talking about like good journalism, it's hard to avoid like the Washington Post. Like, the Washington Post does good journalism now.
I read
their shit, and it kind of sucks that they're owned by Amazon. I mean, it sucks and it doesn't that like they got saved, but they got saved by, you know, your boy, awesome guy, Jeff Bezos.
It feels like this is, I mean, like, not to just go into cyberpunk bullshit like immediately because it's what I always do, but like this is the neo-feudalist structure, right? It's that like you can get saved by a big company because they have the money, they have the resources, and they can do, you can get by on doing good work within the gates of Amazon. Washington Post can do good work because they have this backing, right?
They have like a patron.
Look, I mean, honestly, like, it don't affect them.
I
don't work over there, no. But like, I just like being a journalist myself, you know, you do the work that you do, and like people, like the editors remember to put a tag at the bottom whenever like it has to do with Amazon.
Or, yeah,
like,
totally.
They put it a blip. I mean, Jeff Bezos is not like,
he's not like reading coverage. Everything.
Yeah. He's not a news director, like, and so it's kind of irrelevant. In this case, he doesn't happen to be, I mean, he's an ideological person, but like, he doesn't happen to be that kind of, he hasn't proven to be that kind of boss yet.
Yeah.
There's, frankly, a lot of them are conservative, you know, or like, if you want to talk about the conservative takeover of local TV news.
Local TV news.
Totally.
By way of, and I'm blanking on the name, but it's like so synonymous right
it's
now.
It's, shit.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Fuck. I know what you're talking about. Fucking.
Fuck. No, yeah, we've talked about this, Nina. Fuck. What is it? What are they called?
Let me look.
It's not like Warner. It's like.
It's like that. I know what you're talking about.
Sullivan or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's like a name.
It's like two last names or some shit.
Yeah.
Sinclair. The Sinclair takeover. So, I mean, like, you know, I can't say
Sinclair,
that
I thought the Sinclair folks were, are they not related to the Murdochs? Is that a separate empire?
Maybe.
I don't know if that's part of it, if it's a Murdoch thing. They're just like, but yeah, they're extremely, it's a conservative
like news,
like,
yeah.
I mean, it's like phone. I mean, you know, the people who are working there, a lot of them are hamstrung by like
the Koch brothers and shit.
No, they're hamstrung by Sinclair. Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Correct.
They're just normal people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then Sinclair has people that like do, like they have a guy who I guess worked for Trump or is like a pro Trumper who does like weird, you know, like kind of like just propaganda bits that they're forced to run.
There was that like viral video thing that went around, I want to say a couple months ago, where it was just a bunch of local news stations reading the exact same script.
Yes.
About, I want to say it was like a controversial like commercial or something. And it was just like a million of these like local town talking heads saying the exact same words because it was a Sinclair script.
And so, I mean, I'm not going to say like, I, you know, Jeff Bezos isn't a crazy conservative. So I'm probably less less weird, about his potential influence in the Post.
Yeah.
However, I just feel like the Post is such an institution, has so many processes in place. I just think it would be, everybody would quit, you know, more likely than him pulling any actual strings in the news department.
Yes.
Unlike you know, Sheldon Adelson, the conservative multi whatever. He and those, like, that crew of people, those, like, billionaires or whatever, they actually do try, like, they fire everybody or they, like, try to shape coverage.
No, they definitely put their thumb, like, on the scale. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. No, and then, like, that's totally true. Like, I agree with you that, like, the Washington Post has, like, it's not, it's, their integrity hasn't been compromised at all. No. But what's interesting is, like, Dante is saying that, like, it's, like, kind of like the, it's almost like the patron system is back as well.
Like, yeah, I feel like that might be a better way to think about it. Because, yeah, I don't. Bezos, and I think a lot of, yeah, these, like, kind of more left-leaning billionaires, of which I would even lightly call Elon Musk, right? Like, these are not people who are outwardly conservative.
Right.
Sure. And those people, I think, are more willing to, yeah, like, have things. Oh, my God. Fucking Ganon. Fucking blood moon.
So ominous. I love it.
Put a pause on what I was saying for like 2 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to pour Dante your turn.
Yeah, I think so. Count. Okay. Is everyone ready?
Dante, mad. Dante, I'm mad. Oh,
all right. 3, 2, 1.
Wait, hold on. What? Wait. I didn't even pour.
Oh, that's why I said, are you ready?
Oh, my bad. Okay, now I'm ready.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Oh. Nina, you now have permission to sit out on the shots.
That's fair.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm officially feeling it.
Yeah, totally.
I'm officially feeling it.
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, I don't... My
I
bigger
know, I'm glad I got food and I don't have to go out.
Food, good.
I'm going to go to bed after this.
That is the move. That is the move.
I think Washington Post, like, I have other problems with the Washington Post that are not Jeff Bezos owning it. And I generally feel like it's not, I highly doubt that, you know, outlets like the Post are going to be particularly affected, at least not currently. And I agree, like, maybe this could change, but I don't really think so, at least not in the very near future. I think what is more...
I mean, the Post and the Times are both going through a renaissance right now.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon.
I super agree. I don't really think so. And I think that that's overall good, you know? Like, what is more concerning, I think, is the concept that now this is the way that you have to run a media outlet that big.
Right.
And it's like not...
it's gotten to the point where it has to be funded by a rich person or they get fucked.
Because, I mean... there's a bigger discussion to be had about the profit, the way of making money on the internet, which is, as we know, shackled to an ad model, which is mostly lies. Yeah. It's 90% lies. Like,
and, I mean, we've been talking about that since I was in college. Mm-hmm. I mean, and people were talking about that since before I was in college, like about the funding model being broken. And honestly, you know, the only way that I really see it being sustainable is going back
to,
you know, number one, the billionaire system, the patron system, whatever Daniel wants to call it. Like, that's just, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
Newspapers in the 1980s, you know, decades before that, when they were super rich, they used to buy media companies, you know, and they used to, like, invest in random shit, and they used to be sponsors of stuff. And now, you know, it's the other way around. Yeah. And a lot, you know, tech subsidizes it a lot. For now, you know, I don't believe that tech is, you know, just, like, gonna be on this, like, you know, especially these quote unquote disruptor companies that believe like they've, like, fucking cracked the code, when basically all they did was, like, revolutionize a broken taxi industry or whatever. Which is a feat, I'm not saying, but that's not, like, solving
fixing
cancer
problem.
It's not crazy, you know what I mean? Once those, like, obvious, you know, holes in, like, consumer satisfaction are filled, those, you know, all that money is going to go away. You know what I mean? Yeah. There'll be less ways to just, you know, be a huckster, basically, like there is now.
Well, Nina, but you and I have talked about, like, one-on-one. We've been, like, saying that, like, good independent news is like a public service, and that like we should start talking about it as such, and like we should start talking about it like quite literally becoming like at least like maybe not a direct public service, like not like part of the government, but like funded or something somehow.
Yeah,
that's the question. Well, you know, like a lot of good work is being done now through foundations, where like foundations get grants through certain, you know, venues. Not always. I don't know. There's lots of ways to get the money, but however you do it, then you can hire a reporter and like they send people down to the border. They send people, you know, to study fracking in the in North Texas, or you know, whatever the case may be. And you know, one of the cool, you know, going back, circling back to tech, like one of the like Patreon is like a great way. Journalists are on there, you know what I mean? Like, and there is a definitely a way to crowdsource at some level, you know, and particularly, you know, we need to support local journalism because that's what's, you know,
it's what's at risk. And I think it's the most vulnerable, really, right? Is that it's the stuff that can be cut out and not a lot of people would complain. And that's what's worrying.
More of it's just like, it's the most important, you know what I mean? Like, you know, everybody starts at the school board,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And local, you know, the best way I can put it is like, you know, people wonder how, like, you know, somebody, like some secretary of state will like make an ass out of himself, or like will do something horrible, or some random official, and you'll be like, man, how did somebody ascend to these heights?
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, they came from like bumfuck nowhere, where like there is no newspaper, or like the one that they have is not online, and they're not really given access, and all they do is write about the county fair or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? I know people who have jobs like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but, you know, you get those titles and you ascend, and, you know, then you wonder how, you know, millions of dollars gets mismanaged. Well,
from our past conversations, you know, we always bring up whenever we talk about this shit, you know, the news is often called the fourth estate, as it were, which, like the fourth, you know, like the first being, you know, executive branch, legislative, judicial, and then like the idea is the fourth is like the journalists are checking these people. And if you miss that on the local level, you're kind of fucking local politics. I mean, we see it everywhere. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, let me bring it back to labor, because I want to talk about, like, go back to Amazon, like, rewind to Amazon. And so, like, what's interesting about this is that they get $15 minimum wage, right? But then we also, like, on the same token, Amazon has also been automating for a while now. And so they this year, the numbers that have come out for, like, automation is that they're hiring fewer workers for the holiday season. It's down to 100,000 instead of 120,000, and people are saying it's because they're like further roboticizing the, you know, like the packaging and the shipping and whatnot that people are doing. And I've actually talked about this with Nina on the podcast before, and I forget who else was there, but we've talked about, you know, like automation, and like we as a society should consider like re-educating the workforce, and like UBI and whatnot. But it's crazy that like we go from like, yay, they're, you know, paying their workers $15 minimum wage with pretty good benefits, and then also like, you know, they're slashing their workforce by a few thousand a year by automating.
I would say that there's an interesting quote that you have on our sheet here that an Amazon spokesperson said, and I don't know where this comes from, but you wrote this down. It's a myth that automation replaces jobs and destroys net job growth. I might take a weird stance here and say I agree, because it doesn't replace jobs. It should, in theory, create more jobs, but those jobs have to be more skilled, and they have to change. Automation changes a workforce, right? It says that, well, we can delegate certain tasks, very simple tasks mostly, to robots, but everything else still has to be filled. Like,
right.
If you had a robot that was helping you, I don't know, make a burger, that robot's going to fuck up because sometimes it won't get a bun. Like, someone has to be there to always know that that robot is getting buns. That's a different job than being someone who assembles a burger, but it's still a job. Like, and I don't know.
I mean, ultimately, like, if we're going to get real radical, like, I feel like people should not, ultimately should not be expected to work.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Like, automation is a great thing if you just think about it. But. We have to, like, at the same time be changing our society.
Yes.
Because, you know, we don't.
You can't just automate.
Like, we place so much importance on work. Yeah. If we're going to eliminate jobs, then we also have to realize, like, we need to figure out,
Different system.
Something for those people. Like, a lot of the people, like, the unskilled workers that were doing that, they might not be skilled enough to, you know, like, manage the automated, you know, the machine or whatever it is. Those folks kind of get fucked. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like, the quintessential example for, like, automation that's for sure going to be problematic is, like, once all the driving jobs are automated. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's, like, I think something like 10% of the American workforce is just drivers. Yeah. And that alone, like, that level of unemployment is, like, massive. And we have to, like, huge.
Well, and I think that that's, I think that speaks to what Nina's saying is, like, this, the goal here should not be job growth.
Right.
I mean, like, in a big utopian sense, it shouldn't be. It should be It should be a restructuring of society in order to give people more leisure time because jobs are automated. But
correct.
In order to do that, you either have to do sort of a Band-Aid model like UBI, which I'm not against UBI, but it's a Band-Aid. It's saying instead of we having people work, we maintain capitalism by just giving people money, which is great.
Right.
But it still says, let's maintain capitalism this way.
That's maintaining capitalism.
Yeah. So, like, not ideal. But like, I'm not against it as a stopgap toward maybe rethinking the entire way we value human lives and work, you know? Like, if that's what it takes, sure. Great. But yeah, I don't know. I think with the Amazon case, like in this very concrete real world scenario, like Amazon's going to do this and people are going to get fucked over. Like that's just the thing.
Is exactly.
Because they're going to have more drivers because right now Amazon doesn't have a robotic driving force. When they say that they're automating, they usually mean in the factories, which means that it's probably going to be people getting laid off / being
shot.
This is the second time this happens while Dante's talking.
Sorry I talk a lot on your
show. It loves him.
I'm pouring a shot. Fuck it. Anyway.
Nina, you don't have to take this one if you don't want to.
Okay.
She's like, good.
I'm tired already.
I'll do it in your stead, Nina. Don't worry.
That's right.
Thank you.
Venom okay, I'll count down unite. Since you did last time, Dante.
Okay, yeah.
All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tres, dos, uno. Salud.
Okay.
Boom. Oh, baby. Oh, shit.
Anyway, I was rambling there. My point is, robots aren't that bad, but maybe we should think about how we apply them to the labor force. Whatever. Let's move on.
What do you mean?
I agree.
Like, you're saying, like, what do you mean by we should
He's
think how we apply
automation
them?
Isn't that bad. Yeah. You just have to consider.
We have to consider the greater, like, point of what is this doing for the labor force? And if it's not getting more people happy and in their homes and paid, then I don't know if it's good, you know?
Right. Totally. Yep. Well, okay. I'm going to take a moment to do a house ad. Okay. So those of you listening, you may not know, I have a Patreon for the show. The Patreon for the show is at patreon.com/techkila. And for $1 a month, you could get a shot glass from me with the logo. I'm working on a new one and it'll have the new one on it. But, so goal's $30. Once that goal's hit, I'm going to send those shot glasses to everyone and it'll be dope. Go check that out. Nina brought up Patreon earlier and I was like, ooh, maybe I could segue, but I didn't. Anyway, there's that. So.
No, that was good. That was smooth.
That's right. We got Patreon. Also, for those of you that don't know, there is a Reddit, a subreddit for this podcast. It is at, reddit.com/techkila. Yeah, and I use it as like an active like docket for topics. But for those of you that want to throw anything for
it's his trash can
consideration in the podcast, exactly, it's kind of like where I go to like dump all the ideas for the podcast. And if you want to dump some ideas for the podcast, if you're like, this is an interesting article, he should talk about it, throw it at that subreddit. That's it. House ad over. Thank you.
Sweet.
So yeah, I guess you guys want to talk about like gaming now. This is the whole thing.
Yeah. Let's talk about
How's
Canon.
Pokemon?
Oh, it's pretty good. I like it. That's another podcast entirely.
Oh, he's saving it.
That's like a whole, I could do a whole 40 minutes on how I feel about the Pikachu game.
Literally the only game I've been playing on Switch is Breath of the Wild. So I haven't. Yeah. It's, and I know that's fine. I know that that's good.
Okay. Wait, so Don, I know you've been itching. Is that, do you want to talk about Project Red? Or do you want to talk about Red Dead?
Okay. So you got a lot of topics on here and I think they all are kind of orbiting the same thing, but,
yeah.
I guess, well, let's just go sequentially from what's on this sheet here. I think Telltale is a good place to start because I think it's a great example. It's a great microcosm of how fucked up the game's labor situation is.
Okay, so what happened? I'll let you explain.
Okay, so Telltale Games, who are, I would say, a pretty well-renowned, pretty well-liked studio for about the past decade.
They've had a great reputation.
Yeah, pretty good reputation. They've been around for about the past decade. They were formed out of a lot of like ex-LucasArts folks, ex-Sierra folks, I believe. And they made adventure games. And for about 4 years, they were just kind of chugging along, making kind of low-key adventure games. They did the Sam & Max games. They did Poker Night at the Inventory and Poker Night at the Inventory 2. Which are, those games did not age great, but they're fine. Like, they're fine. They're just annoying. Anyway, and then they did a Jurassic Park game. And then in, I want to say, 2012, they did the Walking Dead game.
That's when they blew up
because The Walking Dead was a huge success. It was a brilliant game. It's absolutely one of my favorite games. Definitely, incredible, very well worth playing. And I don't really give a shit about Walking Dead as a franchise. It's a really well done game.
And you don't need to for the game.
Yeah, you kind of don't.
And Wolf Among Us as well.
Yeah, and Wolf Among Us is another great one.
Did the Game of Thrones one ever blow up? No, right?
It did. Well, I think looking at the Walking Dead game is a great case study because the Walking Dead game did really well, like better than anything they had ever made. As such, they did the thing that tech companies tend to do, which is that they started staffing up. They created more.
Replicated.
Mm-hmm. They staffed up. They started working on more games. They started working on more games simultaneously. And I don't solely want to blame their monetary failure on that because I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just that they, for about the next 5 or 6 years until this year, they were working on multiple projects at once. They had staffed up very big for a games company of their size. I think they had like 300 or 400 people like fully employed. And reports had been always sort of circulating about their labor practices being not great and that sort of filtering into their games. Like a lot of reviews started talking about how their engine felt very dated after about 5 or 6 years of not being very overhauled. And then the response from
why does that happen?
And why does that happen?
Team is overloaded.
Exactly. So I don't know like deep details. I know that a lot of people who were on Telltale's team. Well, I guess I should get to the lead here, which is that Telltale folded very abruptly. And they folded, I think, 9 days before the end of the month. And all their employees were told, like, well, you have your health benefits until the end of the month. And then that didn't really work. Some people had reportedly started working at Telltale, moved to San Francisco, where Telltale is based. Famously cheap and affordable city. Moved to fucking San Francisco, started working there, and were told that they were laid off the day after because the company was shuttering. And then the reverberations of that afterwards have been mostly rumors that a lot of the reasons why they were shuttering is because there was really bad management that was not allocating money well, and also...
You don't say.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, who would have guessed? And then the latest reverberation of this is that there's been a class action complaint filed in California against them, which makes sense because in California you have to have a 60-day layoff thing. I'm not sure the specifics on that law, but that's the gist of it.
I would love to know what the state. I probably should look this up, but I was kind of just last second taking all these notes.
Yeah, it's fair.
What the case is for other states as well in terms of like the required.
Yeah, good question.
It is required.
Good question, and I don't know that obviously offhand.
I don't either.
But I think the reason why Telltale's a really good case study is because a lot of the things that employees have now flocked to Twitter mostly to talk about is are the same labor abuse practices that we see in other game studios. Not all game studios, but a lot of game studios are known for a practice called crunch, which I don't know how many of your audience know what that is, but that's basically where you are asked to work overtime generally for a period of several weeks before the release of a product. And in some studios, I think studios have different views on crunch. Games is kind of weird because you generally have to, you have to ship a game by a date. And so sometimes crunch is quote unquote necessary, but I think it's the way
I appreciate the quote unquote.
Yeah. It's the way that that is enforced that I think is really different. I know that there are completely valid reasons why you might want to work overtime on a game. If you're just, if you're just programming at a good pace and you want to keep going and you want to stay after work, that's different than being asked, hey, we need you to stay at the office for 4 days and like sleep for 2 hours.
It's a way to get away without
to
get away with not hiring enough people.
Exactly, and that's what I
asked to do the work of two or three people.
Nina,
I mean,
that is
when you're
fucking
at the office,
that is it. That's it, Nina. Yes, that's ding, 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 ding.
Well, and
if you have to be at the office for 4 days straight, that means that
you're understaffed.
You're understaffed.
And the reason why understaffing happens is because it's generally, as a broad sense, it is cheaper to run a company with fewer employees than with more employees on a tax level, not even on a labor hours level. Like, it's just because you have to remember that a bigger company is going to be taxed more. So if a company can maintain under, you know, whatever the fuck the tax bracket is, if they can maintain employees under that number, they don't need to pay more taxes. And I've – it is my armchair thoughts – that a lot of the reason why this happens in games specifically is because games are not really profitable. they're profitable as flukes. Occasionally you have games that are very profitable. That's true. And most games that hit are not profitable. And that's fine most of the time, because if it's by a small enough team, then they just like, well, we got paid, we did our thing, we like our company, we want to keep making games. But that's very different when we look at companies like Telltale or Rockstar or CD Projekt Red, who are, as far as things go, like professional large studios that are making big money games that are generally profitable. Telltale's profits, you can look this up, like their sales did go down after The Walking Dead Season 1, which was the massive, massive hit. But they were never at a level that I would say was like
super profitable.
Well, no, I none of them never felt like it was like, oh, this will bankrupt the company. It's like, no, they were all making profit. Like, it was just they were just not making, I guess, enough
like
profit.
Bank.
Yeah, they weren't making bank. And as usual with these sort of stories, it's like, well, a lot of that money was going straight up to the top. It wasn't going to the workers. The workers were, you know, they were staffing up, but they weren't really staffing up. People were doing the work of two or three people.
Let's go, like, in specific real quick, to, like, paint a picture.
I'm talking about, like 15
talking
minutes.
About crunch and whatnot. So, like, with Red Dead, for instance, like, I don't know if you want to explain it. I can explain a little bit. With Red Dead, what was interesting with Red Dead is, like, I don't know if, like, this is to be praised or not, but Rockstar, like, allowed some employees to talk to news outlets. But part of me is, like, great. And part of me is, like, well, obviously they're going to censor a lot of shit that the employees say. I forget what news outlets it was that put the shit out, but, you know, they did interviews with the workers. And one of the main things that caused a lot of crunch for the graphics team, I believe it was that they, for like the cinematic mode or whatever, had to basically like re-render, a bunch, like the way that scenes would render, correct?
Cause they did them in the like, what's it called? Like they did it in a
16:9 yeah, like
thing.
The cinematic profile or whatever,
which was I think a lot of what, when we talk about Red Dead in particular, you have to remember that this was a game that was in development for basically a decade. Like lot of the problems with Red Dead come from the fact that they were probably asking workers just to like, hey, man, you got to be working on something right now. Like, and I'm sure that a lot of what makes Red Dead so noteworthy, like how much detail is in it, is probably also due to the fact that it had just been in development for a very long time. If you have a game in development for 10 years, you can tell your graphics team, hey, man, if you have an idea for an outfit, just make it. And we'll put it in the game, because fuck it, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, shit. Dude, I think you're like 3 for 3 right now and being interrupted by the timer.
I know. It's because I talk a lot. I should have warned you about this. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to pour it.
Okay.
All right. Dante, you count when you're ready.
3, 2.
Bro, I'm falling asleep. Damn.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Boom. Drink some agua.
Yeah, drink some agua.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Wake up, girl.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I have a lot of thoughts on this, as you might expect.
But the main example of crunch that I know of, correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong, I think was that like they had to do the 16:9 aspect thing and then like re-render so it would look right in those like cinematic modes.
You're probably right. I don't know specifics on that. I imagine that is the type of thing that would be asked to be crunched on because, again, Red Dead Redemption 2 is a humongous video game. It is... Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of just, like, pure depth of fidelity, it is absurd. Right. And that's... All of that fidelity, remember, is bespoke. None of it's procedurally generated. All those...
Oh, right.
You know, like, all those rocks were put there. All those animations were probably either done by hand or motion captured. Like, all this stuff is just... It's just time-consuming. And there's no way around that. And that's... On its own, that's fine. Like, yeah, games, you should have the ability to make a game that is just stupidly detailed. But what's frustrating, of course, is that because this was a large game made with certain expectations, like a date that it was supposed to launch, there probably were some like late game choices. Like the rumor I heard, I don't know if this is real, is that like the pillar boxing on the cinematics was done very late in development. And so that means, of course, that you have to go back and you have to redo so much shit.
I think that's accurate from what I've read.
Yeah. And
I think that's accurate.
That's the sort of thing that I think becomes crunch fodder, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't make things any better by, of course, the Housers, who are the two brothers, I believe, who are at the head of Rockstar's kind of narrative development team, coming out and saying, oh, we worked 100-hour weeks, and then coming out like a week later and being like, well, we just meant like a couple people worked 100-hour weeks, which was the most bizarre response, I think. like, instead of saying like, no, that was stupid, and I didn't mean that as a brag, instead they were like, no, it was just a few folks, don't worry. Like, I don't know. I wrote something.
It's like you're trying to like walk back this like ridiculous comment. Yeah.
Well, I wrote something for Pace Magazine basically about this, where I was saying like the problem with that statement is not that it might be untrue or that it even is true. The problem with that statement is that they're doing it as a brag. Like the problem with that statement is that they're like, oh God, look at us. We sacrificed. We worked 100 hours. Like
fucking badass.
We're so fucking into our video game. And it's just like, man, go home. Fucking like,
spend be some with time. Your kids and shit.
Yeah, spend some time with your kids. Fucking sleep.
right.
And that's what's very frustrating about the Rockstar scenario. And I don't know if we'll ever get a lot of real knowledge about this. I think a lot of this is sort of taken from kind of like in industry gossip and also.
Like anecdotal shit.
Stuff. And remember that when Red Dead Redemption 1 shipped in like whatever, like 2008 or so, there was a fairly viral letter that went out called Rockstar Spouse that was basically saying that, hey, your company has made my husband fucking work for 24 hours a day. Like, and that's fucked up. And that was on the heels of EA's Spouse, which was a whole different story about the same thing happening at EA's.
I had no idea that was a thing. That's wild.
Yeah. So if you look up Rockstar Spouse letter, you'll find it. But it's basically that. It's a wife saying, hey, my husband has been like basically working 20 hours a day and it's really fucked up. And that was for Red Dead Redemption 1. So we're coming off of a
pedigree. And unfortunately, that's not an uncommon
story
in the tech industry, particularly among people of color. You work so hard and under so much stress. I remember one in particular, a woman, her husband committing suicide.
Jesus. Whoa.
I forget where he worked, but for a big company. So, I mean, it's not a, the thing is like, you can say all day, like, this is just how it is. Yeah. Or,
right.
You know, firefighters used to say that as well. But then, you know, you really look into, you know, disruption of circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
And lack of sleep, and the effect on the body, it's a fucking carcinogen. You know what I mean? It's not a joke.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
It's, you know, it's a health issue. And so, you know, you can say, oh, you know, we should expect, you know, basically the same level of sacrifice from the people that make our video games that, like, are in the military or who fight our fires. Yeah. And I just think that that's fucking unreasonable.
It is.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Push the day back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or hire more people. Seriously. Do whatever you have to do.
Seriously.
That doesn't take it out on these people like that, because it's not fucking life or death. This is, it's a video game.
Also, I want to just underscore that a lot of the argument about Rockstar comes down to the fact that the Housers alone took home like 400. What the fuck was the fucking?
Oh no!
I don't want to get this. God. I don't want to get this wrong. But Housers pay Red Dead Redemption 2. They took home, let's say, a lot of money. a lot of money. And that's just a lot. $538 million.
Oh,
that's the majority of the $538 million in Rockstar royalties would go to the Hauser brothers. That is from
over half a million. Yeah. That's or half a billion. I mean, sorry.
Yes, it is absurd. And let's be real. Maybe that's 250 million, but still that is.
Oh, between
absurd.
Them. Yeah,
absurd. And even if they're the ones, even if their remark about, oh, we worked 100-hour weeks, maybe that was literally just the Hausers. They don't deserve $250 million.
Correct,
like
correct.
That's kind of the problem.
So, like, the core problem here, and if we look at, like, CD Projekt Red or, like, Crunch in general, like, the core issue here is, for the most part, unpaid overtime, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's also, like...
Which is labor abuse. Like, it's labor abuse.
Correct.
Is what it is. Like...
And so, like, it's, like, unpaid overtime mixed with, like... Like, one thing is to be asked to work overtime, but to asked to work overtime, like, so chronically and then, like, so late as well.
Yes.
And so, like, mandatory overtime, like, at least pay them what should be in the United States, I think it's 1.5 times.
Yeah.
Like, for your hourly rate, like 1.5 times what it would be if you took your salary and divided it by, you know, like a 40-hour work week. And that is to try to discourage employers from doing this and to encourage employers from like, or encourage them to buy or to not buy, hire more people to work. Like, you know, it's what Nina said earlier. Nina was like, it's because they're fucking understaffed. And that's exactly what it is. And so like this, it's not enforced for some reason in a lot of, professional, like in a lot of, professional circumstances, like in, especially in developing for me as a creative, like as a designer, I don't think it applies to me. The law that requires people like after 40 hours to be paid overtime, it doesn't apply to a lot of people for like dumb libertarian ass reasons. And it just needs to be applied here. Honestly, that's the main thing. Well, and then also like not asking people to work ridiculous fucking hours as well.
And you have to remember that a lot of this workforce, especially in games in general, I don't know about Rockstar, but a lot of games in general are staffed by contract workers. And contract workers have generally more limited protections and pay and that sort of thing. And like, I don't know if we'll ever know what actually went down with Red Dead Redemption 2, because I feel like a lot of what's going to happen is that the company is going to kind of selectively let certain things out, you know, like you mentioned with the kind of dubious nature of telling employees that they can just say whatever, which seems extremely weird for a company.
Totally. I think this is a good transition. So I also wanted to talk about, there's this article on Kotaku that is called What It Means to Buy a Video Game.
Yes, and, by Heather, who is a brilliant writer, by the way. Heather
correct.
Alexander, shout out.
And she, it's basically like positing like how one, God, I'm drunk. how one like rectifies their like morals with also like wanting to buy a game that's dope.
Yeah.
And which is a brilliant question, and it's hard, you know, like navigating a capitalist system that abuses people. But you also want to consider, like, I have a fucking iPhone 10. It probably was made in conditions in China that weren't great.
Yeah.
And that kind of like reflects on me poorly, I guess.
Almost all of our electronics are going to be made with fucking conflict material. Like, that's just
exactly.
You just you just try and do your best.
Then that's the whole point that she's talking about, right? Like how you rectify that. And I thought it was a really interesting conversation. One, I found out that also Dead Cells was made by a worker co-op, which is dope as fuck.
Can I just talk about that for a second? Because there's a brilliant article by Nathan Grayson at Kotaku where he just straight up just talked to that company, which is called Motion Twin, who straight up described themselves as an anarcho-syndicalist workers cooperative. And I'm like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Incredible. Motion Twin, I believe, is my utopian vision for how games can be made under a still capitalist system.
Motion Twin is basically like my dream for how the economy should work now.
To be clear, the reason why Motion Twin is allowed to do that is A, that Dead Cells made a buttload of money, and also that they have a very limited staff doing a very limited scope of a game. Dead Cells was... Wait.
Dante, also explain what a worker co-op is, like using jargon.
The simplest way that, and I believe that the representative from Motion Twin explains this a little better in the article, but basically it's just everyone gets paid the exact same. That's the simplest way to put it. The other way to put it is that they are a horizontalist structure where there aren't per se bosses, and the entire... Granted, they're also French, so I don't know.
God damn it.
Okay. Let's do this really fucking quick because I want to get back to my fucking plan here.
You're like 4 for 5 now.
I know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I guess we got to do a shot now.
Jesus. Okay. Well, it's convenient that your show has these little breaks because then we can do things like that.
I know. It's a good, like, I've been talking for 10 minutes. It's a good, like, measure on, like, how long the topic's been going. Okay.
I know. Seriously. Okay. All
right. I don't know whose turn it is to count.
I don't remember. I think it's yours, actually. I think I did the last one.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Boom.
Okay.
And sorry. Timer
what
start.
I was saying. Uh-huh. Yeah, what I was saying is Motion Twin's a horizontalist structure, which as I don't know specifics, and again they're French, which means that the way that co-ops work in France might possibly be very different than how it is in the United States. In the United States, usually a co-op means that you're forming a corporation, that is owned by all of the workers as a group.
Yes.
And therefore all decisions have to be made by some sort of vote. And hiring on a new worker is a little more complicated than just hiring someone because, remember, they have to be made an owner each time.
Right.
So it's a little more complicated. And I think there are good arguments as to why that wouldn't be great for games, which are a very project-focused structure instead of a production-focused structure. But to be clear, Motion Twin appears to be kicking ass.
Like the way I've heard it described, at least like in, like outside the French context at least, is just like, like that's the simple phrase, democratically owned and operated. Yes.
Correct. And I think that that's the best way to think about it. And that means that, of course, all of the profits are split completely equally. An artist gets the same as a programmer, gets the same as a manager, etc.
Right.
And
wait, so they don't get to take home $500 million?
Yeah, I know. Probably not. What? Well, they're probably all taking home. Have you seen how much fucking money? How many people bought Dead Cells? This is a good-ass fucking video game.
It's a pretty good game. I just started playing it after I read this article. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to play this game.
It's a good game. It is a extremely good combat-focused Metroidvania. I have some qualms with, I think, how they lay out the lore structure, but this is minor. Anyway.
Right.
Motion Twin, I believe, should be considered the gold standard of how to run a video game company. And I hope that every video game company is looking at that at least as an idea of like the goal. A company like Rockstar probably can't collectivize just because of how big it is. Frankly.
But there's still like a I don't know if compromise is the right word. But like, for instance,
unionization. Unionization is the compromise, right? It's like you have the workers as a force in conflict with the administration.
Yeah.
and that's not bad. That's like Marxist philosophy, right? It's like, it's what you do is you have a force that can protect yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So like, I guess like the compromise would be unionization.
In my mind, at least.
Or that's the first step. Or like maybe yes. even like some form yes. of like representative democracy. Yeah. Like, for instance, there's this bill that Elizabeth Warren is she introduced to Congress, not going to pass because the Senate is Republican. But I think it's called the Accountable Capitalism Act or something like that. Let me see. Mm-hmm. Accountable Capitalism Act. And the core idea is that, like, fine, Citizens United, corporations are citizens, fine, but we're going to make them, like, accountable, like, yeah. like socially citizens. Yeah. conscious citizens that have responsibilities and shit. And one of the biggest sure. ones that was interesting yeah. is, like, for large corporations, they have to have, I think it was, like, 40% of the board elected by workers.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah. I think that's a very interesting idea, given that companies like Rockstar they have boards, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't confirm that, but I'm likely. Sure they do, right? Right. So, and I'm sure that if there were worker representatives on that board, things might be a little different. And I think that when we talk about companies the size of Rockstar who are making games the size that Rockstar does, you can't, that there has to be some sort of hierarchy, even if it's a very good conscientious hierarchy, but there just has to be for kind of a managerial sense of, like, right. who can talk to who and how to get information disseminated.
Well, even if there's just like worker representation in like some form of like representative democracy or mm-hmm. I don't know, some yes. different model that tries to take in also like unionization that also tries to take in the workers' interests.
I personally feel like one way that this can all get a little better is for smaller indie studios, of which there are, of course, you know, many. Fucking hundreds. There's yeah. there's so many. If they can start on a foundation of creating a cooperative. I know that developer Scott Benson, who is one of the artists of Night in the Woods, has talked about the fact that he is starting a worker cooperative game development studio.
What?
I believe so. And it's like, we know that this is doable. Cooperatives are legal entities in America. They're not uncommon. Mm-hmm. There's at least a couple hundred of them. But these are this is the way that we should be looking at game development,
totally.
I believe, because I think that games are a weird artistic endeavor that generally rely on a lot of weird amounts of work. And I think that the best conscientious way to do that is by making everyone kind of have an equal stake in it as a worker owner.
Dude, right? As if I wasn't gushing over Night in the Woods enough just as a game.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing.
Now I'm going to like rant to people about that too. I had no idea that that was a thing.
To be clear, that is not the studio that created Night in the Woods. That is one of the developers on Night in the Woods talking about wanting right. to do another thing. But yes,
that's still dope as fuck. Oh, I love that
yeah,
so
no.
much.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people behind Night in the Woods have very good politics around worker rights and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm,
So, yeah, I mean, games is a really weird field. It's a really weird field. A lot of work is done by contract, not necessarily because that's exploitative, but because if you're an artist, maybe you only need to make one piece of art for a game. Like, right. maybe that's just all they need. The problem is when you look at studios the size of Rockstar or CD Projekt Red or whatever, who are – or even Telltale, where they're hiring a large number of full-time employees who are being exploited on labor abuse levels.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's a bad thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, CD Projekt Red is like a special case of just like pretty awful, awful.
Yeah, CD Projekt Red is I don't know a lot of specific details. I've read the same articles that you have, I believe, but it's just they're being accused of mandatory overtime, of crunch, of, you know, a lot of things like that. The same stuff that we were kind of talking about with Telltale. The difference is CD Projekt Red is probably not going under anytime soon.
Right.
And is releasing a huge game in a couple months, Cyberpunk 2077. Which I hope is good.
I know.
That's all I can really say at this point.
I mean, that leak that they had does look good. It's just like
it looks great. Oh, it looks great.
Oh, not the leak. It was not a leak. It was totally like
it was the 48-minute gameplay demo that there was. Yeah, yeah.
It's just like I also like part of me again, like talking about this article and talking about like not wanting to support.
It's about more. It's about the moral thing. And I know that CD Projekt Red is also they have a history of questionable social media behavior. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the they. So as I understand, they own GOG, Good Old Games, GOG, and GOG's social media history is not stellar.
Yeah, I think I saw some like borderline like transphobic shit.
I would say repeatedly transphobic.
Yeah, you think things so?
That they will often post and then kind of go back on and say like, "Sorry, you were offended." Kind of apologies. The problem is we don't know, obviously, if that's just a social media manager or if that's someone at CD Projekt Red having a certain ideology.
Right.
And there's really no way to know that. And that's worrying.
Right.
It's one of the things that makes me worried about Cyberpunk 2077, a game that I otherwise am very excited for, and a game that from a studio that I think The Witcher 3 was one of my favorite games possibly ever. Like, yeah. I really liked The Witcher 3.
Totally. I mean, yeah, critically acclaimed, dope as fuck, amazing game.
Critically acclaimed, huge game. I would argue one of the best, like, written games that I've played in a while. And a lot of that is, you know, worrying because they're now making this other game that is about, you know, social implications of hyper-capitalism.
Right.
Cyberpunk, and that's, yeah. Anyway, I think that, yeah, the games industry is in need of some labor reform. I would like to definitely give a shout out because we haven't said it yet, but Game Workers Unite is a very good company agnostic group that is working to just make labor in games better. Yeah, they've been doing a lot of stuff. They kind of formed after the wake of a contentious panel at Game Developers Conference 2018 this year. And were kind of formed in response to that and saying like, hey, maybe we should talk about unionization in the game sphere. Because historically, a lot of larger kind of games, not regulatory bodies, but groups like the IGDA, which is the International Game Developers Association, have been waffling to negative on unions. And a lot of people were just like, that's kind of fucked up.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Maybe don't do that. God.
Yeah, well, and like, I feel like if one is going to go about buying these games, which is like hard not to when they're so great and everyone's talking about them.
Yeah.
And like, this is maybe one avenue for like, if you are someone who is like morally, what's the word? Like torn on like buying Cyberpunk 2077 while also like thinking they need to unionize now, maybe like either being a vocal advocate or somehow trying to support, you know, unionization in general is a good way to try to like mediate that tornness.
Yes. Seriously. I mean, one way that I would say, and like, this is the simple, easy answer, but like, support Game Workers Unite. I believe it is. Let me get this right. Is it Games Workers Unite or is it Game?
Game singular.
Game Workers Unite. I believe that there is a Patreon for them. I'm just going to pull that up just to make sure. There might not be one. I know that one of the... Oh, yes. Emma Kinema, who is one of the...
Oh, my God.
Emma Kinema, who is one of the main organizers of Game Workers Unite International, has a Patreon at patreon.com/EmmaKinema. That's EmmaKinema. Highly recommend supporting her and the work that she's doing and the work that Games Workers Unite is doing.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Dope. I think this is a good place to call the podcast because I'm not taking.
I gotta go.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
So it's like you were saying earlier. It's just bad. It's bad.
It's bad, but I think that the important thing is remembering like there are people doing good shit. You know, like there's always people trying to fix it.
Awesome. Well, Dante, thank you for joining. Go ahead and plug yourself. Where you at?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Video Dante. That's VideoDante. I am also, I just recently launched a quarterly issue of a games criticism website I run called Deorbital. You can find that at deorbital.media. Deorbital's a website where we try and highlight games criticism and cultural criticism from underrepresented, marginalized voices, that sort of thing. And I run that, I co-run that with a friend of mine, Amar Alasair. Yeah, it's really great. Highly recommend checking that out. Deorbital.media. That's also on Twitter at Deorbital.
Dope. And I'll link that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Dope as fuck. Thanks, Nina, for joining.
All right, yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening.
We will see you soon.
Repetitive sedatives like every better with
never cute remembering music. Awesome.
Every degenerate.
Yeah, that was
fun. And letting the descending like sediment. I'm been taking like park, mix shots, it up with six scar rage against
me. J-Rockada. Switch it up, gangsta. Getting on my stage props. Dilla with the beats and catch me singing like.
As always, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Tequila.
Mama call me Yeshua, running out of time with the Harry Potter headscarf. I ain't got a desk job.
For the regular listeners, I'd like to thank you for your support and ask that you please help us to continue to improve the show by heading over to our Patreon page and donating $1 a month.
Head farts, yeah, that's for all you gum smack, mud flaps, scuzz bag, unwrapped sex.
By donating just $1 a month, you'll really be helping us out, and you'll get Tequila closer to hitting our goal of $30 per month.
Yeah, this is how I rap before I hit it up. Top shit, but I still respect women.
Once that goal is reached, I personally will be designing and sending each of you a Tequila-branded shot glass or two to show my appreciation. So head over to patreon.com/tequila to support the show. That's Patreon, which is spelled patreon.com/tequila.
Like egregious kids adjust in front and like Jesus and elitist pimps come from Mars and bitches come from Venus. The way I see us is my strength is all your weakness. Treat them like a hedonist. Every obstacle defeated. Preach it, I'm a seed of weed.
Remember, you can submit topics for the show and interact with me and guests on the subreddit, which is found at reddit.com/r/tequila.
That's for all your Joe rap smoke ploys. That's for all your go brag, no half, low grab.
You can follow Tequila on Twitter for the latest hot takes on tech news at TequilaCast.
Watch list, that did it. This is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women.
The Tequila theme song is Ride Out by Yeshua, which is spelled Y-S-H-W-A. You can also find him online as Vincent Augustus. Thanks, y'all.
Ride out. They ain't praising my same, my miracle. They